Thank you. And at this time, I'd like to remind parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. If you need assistance throughout your call, please press star zero. Thank you. You may begin.
Thanks very much.
Hi, Max. Shall I do a roll call?
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got Michael Connor, Barbara Steele, Margie Millen, Pamela Miller, Paul Diaz, Michael Collins, and Christian Curtis, and Olaf Nordling and myself from staff.
Terrific. Well, we've got a great group. I think I'll do it without a cue unless it gets too complicated, but let's try and avoid the cue process if we can. And as I was saying, I think that what we'll probably want to do is to devote the bulk of the time today to trying to get to a final, not a final draft, but a draft that we can take back over the next week to our constituencies and then try and come up with a final version for public review next week. To that end, what I thought I would do is use the wiki page of proposed drafts as the scratch pad, and I'll just keep editing that page as we go, and I'll give you a heads up when I update the page. So for those of you who are sitting at computers, why don't you navigate to that page and refresh it right now, and then I'll go in and start editing, and I'll let you know when it's changed. If you look at that page right now, just to bring folks who weren't on the call up to speed last week, we worked on number eight first, because the group felt like that one was pretty straightforward, and tentatively arrived at a draft. And so what I'd like to do is start with number nine, work on the remaining three, 9, 5, and 7, and then at the very end circle back around to 8 to give folks who weren't on the call last time a chance to comment. And that's pretty much it for the agenda, I think, in terms of at least where I'm coming from. Do folks want to add anything to that agenda? All right, I'll take that as approval to go ahead. We got started on number 9 last week, and I think Barbara had to drop off. Somebody had to drop off the call, so we agreed to wait and pick it up again. Olaf has done yeoman service on the wiki. I want to take a moment to say thanks to both Glenn and Olaf for all the help on this. And Olaf has got a tentative draft up there in bold. Is there anybody who isn't able to see the wiki? Do I need to read these? Because I'm happy to do it, but if everybody's on the wiki, I won't. Okay, so everybody's seeing the wiki. So with that, I think I'm going to just open it up to conversation. I'll take notes, guide the conversation as best I can. And with that, carry on, people. That tentative draft acceptable? If it is, we'll zip right through this one and move on to the last two, which I think do have some issues associated with them.
Mike, this is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
With regard to number 9, I think it would be helpful, and this is one of the notes that I put on the discussion page that I haven't seen any feedback on yet, but I think it would be very helpful for us to also address the fact that change of registrant doesn't qualify as a change of registrar. And it's generally because that's the main thing that we see complaints about, both in the form of a formal case being filed for a dispute resolution, as well as just complaints from one registrar against another. And I know that there were some comments surrounding that, and I really was hoping that we could be able to get some feedback from the registrar, since typically it could be within the registrar purview to go ahead and add information registrant agreements or registration agreements that restrict transfers after change of registrant information. So I didn't know if anyone had any thoughts on that.
I think this is all of. I think that is the gist of the proposal in the points of clarification document, to be very clear on what transferred means. So by stating that it is, well, an inter-registrar transfer or transfer to the registrar of record, it would be clear at least that this is not transferred, it's not a matter of transfer between registrants.
It sounds like we had two.
I was actually going to say something as well.
Go ahead.
It's Barbara again. I guess, you know, from my perspective, I don't know if it makes sense for us just to explicitly state that it doesn't include registrant transfers. I mean, I know that it does define transfers here as inter-registrar transfers.
Yeah, this is Paul. I think we ought to leave the text narrowly focused. That's the mandate of this working group. The surrounding issues that might deal might be permissible, or that registrars use or cite to deny a transfer request. Some of those issues are coming up in the forthcoming PDPs. I don't really think we should add language that is really going to be the focus of future things, plus it's beyond the mandate of this current drafting team.
Thanks, Paul. Anybody else?
I agree with Paul, I think. Yeah, this is Tim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tim.
I agree with Paul. I think that, you know, that what we should try to avoid doing is changing or setting policy with what we're doing here, that we're clarifying. We don't really have the time or the mandate, I don't believe, to actually affect, you know, new policy or clarifications that would actually change the policy. But maybe a fine line, but I think to the extent possible, we're just trying to clarify what the intent was, if that's my understanding.
Would everybody agree with Olaf's interpretation that by saying what transfers are, we've also, in a way, stated all the rest of the galaxy of things that they are not? And thus, is Barbara's issue essentially addressed because the language that's here doesn't include registrant transfers?
This is Margie. I actually agree with Barbara. I think that language could be more clear, and if you inserted the word only means, then I think your point would be well taken, that it wouldn't include other items.
How would people feel about inserting only somewhere in that sentence? That seems like a good amplification without really changing the intent.
This is Pam. I would agree with that, putting only in there.
So, I would agree. Where should we put it? Somebody read that sentence and stick an only in the right place, and I'll type it in.
My suggestion, this is all up, is to put it between shall and mean. Shall only mean.
That sound good to folks?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Fine with me.
I think that's a good compromise. This is Michael.
Great. I hit the save button. It worked. You should be able to refresh your screen and see the new language now. Let me know if that part works. This is the sort of moment of truth of my theory here.
It worked for me.
Good deal. Okay. Any other comments, thoughts? Barbara, that was a great one. Anybody else got refinements that we want to inject into number 9? I'm going once, going twice, sold. Okay, so I'm going to call number 9 done for now. And purely arbitrarily move on to number 5 since it's next on the page, unless somebody's got a strong opinion to the contrary. And Olaf, could you kind of give us an introduction to this and describe what you're envisioning our result will be on this one?
This is probably the one where we have had the most input. Actually, we had the current text, see that, hearing
Yeah, I'm hearing it too. I just muted my phone and it didn't stop. So maybe.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, I continue. Perhaps it stops by itself. And we had actually two suggested clarifications in the point of clarification document, and these were mainly aimed at what happens during the auto-renew grace period. And expressed in two different ways, in a rather specific way or in a more generic way. And I used the more specific one as a very tentative first suggestion. Must be noted that we have texts also from the IPC, which is more a little bit longer, and a text from the ISTCP. Both of those are in the matrix, which are on the overview I sent out very early on for this group.
And Olaf, if I can interject, those texts are also on the wiki. And so
yes.
What I've got is two windows open that I'm toggling back and forth, and I would commend others to do that too. It makes it easy to refer to those. Go ahead, Olaf.
Yes. So I think that was at least one of the focal points here, what happens during the auto-renew grace period. First of all, the way it's expressed is to exclude that kind of, non-payment, so to speak, that they are not part of fees for a current registration period. It's a circumscript way of saying that non-payment of those shouldn't count as a transfer denial reason. So this is also, and it deserves mentioning, we have had a staff clarification on what the current text actually means, which says round about the same thing. And I know that there have been discussions on that, and that is also on the ICANN announcement site. And I think, I could show you the link to that one if you like. It's on the announcement webpage for ICANN.
Maybe, Olaf, if we can't get to conclusion today on this, maybe you could just edit the wiki with that link.
Oh, yeah. That I could do right away, actually.
Terrific. Don't put it on the page of proposed text, though, because I've got that one.
Okay. I'll put it somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, so is that sort of it for your introduction?
I think it's mostly it, and there may be other issues as well. I mean, I know that there were discussions about what happens actually and when it's on register hold or if it happens to be on register lock in certain cases. But I wonder if that is going beyond the clarifications, rehashing what was said just a minute ago, that we shouldn't go too deep into perhaps the policy aspects of this, since that will be addressed by other PDPs.
Yeah.
This is Michael. I would still prefer not to change that, to expand the scope.
You're breaking up, Michael.
I bet he's on his cell phone.
Let me take it off the speakerphone. Maybe that will help.
Oh, that's much better.
Thank you. I was muted most of the time, so it was easier just to listen. I would prefer not to see us expand the scope and just work on clarification on all of these, I think.
As is Tim, I'd like in the queue, too, on this one.
Michael, are you done? If not,
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit more of a radical approach on this one, in that, personally, I don't think we can do anything to this, to the current text, that doesn't affect what at least one or more, and probably many more, registrars consider policy. And that's what concerns me about any of these three suggested texts. And personally, I mean, I feel like this is actually, you know, merits almost a PDP, or be a part of one of the many transfer PDPs that are probably going to be coming. So one alternative may be that we don't suggest alternative text or clarification, and then that the issues involved in it are deep enough or concern enough to a number of registrars that it should have a reconsideration on its own, and that a simple clarification isn't really going to do it, in my opinion. And that I believe is my understanding of a number of different registrars' opinion on this. I don't know, Paul, what you think, but...
Paul, you want to chime in?
I tend to agree mostly with Tim. I'm just not sure if I'm following all the way through, if we don't provide something, or are we just referring to, say, this drafting team agreed with the points of clarification language. I'm sorry, Tim, I'm just not completely following. I agree that we shouldn't be crafting policy here. But we do need to provide something, right, to demonstrate these clarifications.
I guess I'm suggesting that none of the suggested clarifications actually work, and that the current text should be left until there's more opportunity, more time than what this drafting team has to really address the issue. But I'll give you an example of an issue that's been raised, and that is that, there's a conflict with the term of a registration agreement. And, at the end of that year, that registration agreement really is no longer in place. And so, some registrars have raised the issue, well, what do we do? There's really no registration agreement here. The renewal dates between what the registrar has and what the registry has don't even match, because the registries mm-hmm. They did the auto renew kind of thing, so their registration date is actually a year ahead of what the registrar might be showing. There's a lot of little issues around this where, does it need to be clarified? Does it need to be resolved? Yes, but can we address all these little issues appropriately with the time frame that this group has been given? I don't believe so.
Yes.
My suggestion was we leave the text as it is and just simply, there's more involved here than what we can resolve in the amount of time we've been given.
Thanks for the clarification, Tim. Now I get it, and I do follow you, because whether with this number 5 or the next one coming, I really don't think that this group, with its existing mandate, is going to be able to avoid policy prescription. And, maybe in the interest of everything, especially since GNSO has already authorized PDPs on all these other issues, more in-depth issues, I agree with you, Tim. I think that might be the simplest route to take right now for this group. It also means that we're going to be able to have something delivered to the GNSO by their self-imposed deadline.
Right, and so, as the council discusses those PDPs that are on the table from the other work, that we can look and see, where would these fit in, and to make sure that if they're not already covered, that perhaps one of those be expanded somewhat to make sure that we involve these issues. And that seems to me to be a much better approach. It'll allow more opportunity for community input from those who are affected, and enough time to have the issues appropriately addressed. And I don't think either of those are going to occur within this group.
Anyone else want to chime in? I have a question for Tim and Paul. If we were to really, really narrow this to simply the clarification around the auto-renew period and left all the other issues, Tim, that you've mentioned I agree. Those are well outside the scope of what we're up to. Could we just push in that one clarification and leave the rest for the other PDPs? I'm not sure. I'm not asking that rhetorically. I'm really asking it because I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the throwing the ad, you know, if you look at the current text, you know, it talks about previous registration period, if the domain's past its expiration date, the current registration period has not yet expired, et cetera. And then if you look at the points of clarification, it throws in this term auto-renew grace period, which there might be some implication of that in the current text, but I don't think it's necessarily clear that that's what was intended or that that's what, you know, the majority of registrars have actually been operating on. And so when we throw that in there, you know, it's like we're actually then making policy or an assumption about what is intended. I don't think there's agreement here on what was intended there.
I was under the presumption that the prior group essentially came to agreement with slight differences in text proposed by the various constituencies on this one. But I wasn't on that call, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think I need to correct you there that the prior group was the Transits Working Group, and they produced the point of clarification document as a suggestion.
Right.
The current PDP, which we're currently in, came up with, well, the constituency within the scope of the current PDP, the IPC text and the ISPCP text came in as part of the constituency statement. So it's not the prior working group. We're the first drafting group within the scope of this PDP, actually. So we should relate to those texts as if they're part of the process we're in right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was in that group, participate on that group, Mike, and you know, a couple of issues with that. One, I mean, it was protracted out over years. I think we started it in 2005 or 2006, and we didn't conclude it until late last year or something like that.
Wow.
Getting started, but in reality, you know, it wasn't pursued as, you know, seeking constituency consensus on these different things. So it really wasn't pursued in that vein. And I think in the meantime, you know, at least within registrars, you know, as, you know, more thought had been given to what was in that working group's report, you know, a lot of concerns have been raised and a lot of questions about some of the things that I raised, a lot of questions about those issues. This also has me concerned that we don't rush through this and that we give it a, you know, appropriate amount of time and attention that I think it deserves. I think it can be resolved. I don't think it'd be like it's some protracted PDP to do it, but I think more time needs to be given to it than what we've got here.
Yeah, and if this is really the first time through, I tend to throw my lot with you guys on this. I assumed that there'd been a discussion and that auto-renew stuff had essentially emerged from that discussion and that we were simply the mechanics crafting the sentence. But if in fact we're making the policy, I agree, I think that's outside the scope of what we've got the ability to handle. How do other people feel about that?
While you're thinking about that, this is all. If I put up a link to the ICANN advisory for your information on the first page of the wiki.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Olaf. I'm hearing a silence. Is that silence agreement? Assuming it is, then.
Another
Margie. Okay, go ahead.
I apologize for not attending the meeting last week. I just wanted to kind of get understanding of what our charter is, because I looked on the wiki to see what it states. it sounds like what we're supposed to do is come up with drafts by the end of May. There would be public comment, and then there'd be time for final consideration and vote by the council. So I don't see how drafting changes according to the charter is creating new policy, because in effect, all we're doing is just saying this is, you know, where we reach consensus, assuming there could be a consensus on some of these issues. It goes out to public comment, and then later on the GNSO, you know, decides whether it's, approved or not. So I'm not really following Tim's, approach here. It sounds like, you know, if we adopt what he's saying, then we really have no purpose in even meeting. I'm not really sure what the purpose of this transfer would accomplish.
Oh, this is Tim. Can I explain a little bit more?
Go ahead.
Respond. If we do that, what we're putting ourselves into, you know, this PDP timeline, where there's got to be some result and, you know, a vote within a certain number of days, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I don't want to do, given the short amount of time that we're going to have to really try to hammer this out. And, you know, I'll give you an example right now. I mean, the Margie, as you know, the registrar's constituency is in the middle of an XCOM election. So it's even difficult to try to figure out, you know, when will we have time to actually appropriately get the kind of discussion going with among registrars to even be able to know, you know, what is the registrar's consensus view here in regards to this. So as a counselor, I don't feel comfortable, you know, just knowing the concerns that have been raised and saying, well, you know, there's some acceptable assumption here to make about what was intended. I don't think that's clear from the registrar's perspective, and I don't feel comfortable trying to make that kind of call. Whereas if this was, and so I don't see why, you know, just because this group was given a charter, you know, to say, well, we've got to do something, do or die, I think that's a mistake and a dangerous assumption to make, given the impact that policy has on registrars and registries and others, and that, you know, there's nothing wrong that I can see with going back and saying, you know, look, this is more complicated than what it appears. You know, there should be more, this group doesn't have the amount of time to give to it, and just suggest that this be included perhaps with the other PDPs. In fact, I think parts of this and the next one both are. And so it would be, you know, not difficult to expand those a little bit to include these, so that when those PDPs take place, you know, then appropriate input from everyone can be made and they can be addressed in a more thorough manner, what we're going to be able to do here. And I just don't see us coming up with something that's, and I don't want to get started down this road where the council's got to make some call at the end of it regardless, and that's what I see happening.
This is Michael. I'd like to be next.
Go ahead.
What I see is that this is an important issue, and that it does need to be addressed, that registrants need to have a consistent policy one way or another. They need to know, you know, ahead of time, not after the fact, whether a transfer that they initiate during the auto renew grace period will succeed or not. Because if it doesn't succeed, that's at a point in time where if the transfer doesn't succeed, you know, they can lose this registration due to an expiration. And so I think it's critical that we solve this problem. However, having said that, I think that this is an important issue, and you know, there may not be an agreement on how this is worded and how this policy should be applied. And if we as a working group can't come to an agreement on it, we probably should do as Tim suggests, I think. I'm finished.
Any other comments?
Yeah, Olaf, if I may comment, well, the whole idea with setting up a drafting group to try to produce text was, of course, under the assumption that it would be something that could comparatively easily be done. And I think, well, there is no pride lost if we would just we could conclude that, well, this we have no agreement on, within the drafting group. So hence, it calls for another approach, whether that's conducted within the current PDP, which is intended for clarifications, or transferred or married into one of the sets of transfer policies, PDPs that are foreseen, is something that could be left for the council's discretion. And we may wish to include a line on that in some kind of final report.
You know, that's an excellent point, Olaf, and I think, you know, if the council should decide, well, we're going to leave it with this group, but we're going to extend the time they have so that we can really address this, then, you know, that'd be another option. But what I hate to see happen is that we just force the issue to come up with something by such a deadline just so that we do, but it's not thorough, it's not the right thing, and, you know, I see no loss of pride in asking either for the amount of time we think is necessary to really address it or that it's addressed in another more thorough way.
Yeah, this is Margie. Tim's right in the sense that it takes a long time to get registrar constituents input, and we are in the middle of an election. And this is a particular issue that, you know, of concern to a number of registrars. So we would certainly want to get, you know, the ability to get input before there's some recommendation. So I think if the approach is to say we need more time to be able to solicit the statements and input, I don't have a problem with that approach.
Yeah, and this is Paul. I was also going to say that it may be beneficial to the broader community to see that this working group, this drafting team, which was designed, as Olaf has said, to try and move things quicker on that, recognizes that there are additional complexities, there are deeper issues here, that we don't want to rush through it, and that we are basically taking our role very seriously by saying we can't do something so quickly. If we communicate that message back to the council, then the council can decide whether they expand our mandate or merge this group in with those forthcoming PDPs. I think it serves everybody's interest because, to Michael's point, a consistent policy that applies for everyone is the ultimate goal here, and I wouldn't want to be part of a group that rushes through something, and then when the additional questions come up on some of these other issues that will be addressed in the future PDPs, they kind of look back at our group and say, well, why did they rush through that? Why did they, either what were they thinking, or did they just kind of blow through it because they had this very, very tight deadline that they wanted to hit?
This is Christian. I'm sorry I had to leave the call briefly because the fire alarm went off in my building, but could I ask what item we're on now?
Hi, Christian. Welcome back. We're on number 5.
Okay.
And
we're in the same building. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask that because I had that issue earlier myself. No, go ahead.
Feel free to ask that question anytime, anybody. Let's take a quick sense of the group on this. I'm picking up sort of overwhelming support for the notion of deferring this discussion for subsequent PDP efforts or an extended version of this PDP, one or the other, but at any rate, deferring this one and not trying to shoehorn it into the one week remaining deadline. Is there anyone who would like to make the case for carrying on? And if not, then I'd like to quickly try and recap the reasons why we'd like to defer, and I'll update the web page with that, and we'll carry on. How about that? Anybody want to make a case for pushing forward on this one in today's call? I'm not picking up a lot of enthusiasm. So here I started taking some notes, and I think I could use some help fleshing them out. I started really with when Paul was talking. So I stuck in the notion of there are deeper issues and more complexity here. that perhaps this could become part of a broader broader PDP effort that's following behind this one, and that we really have no desire to rush through this issue simply to hit an arbitrary timeline. That are there other sort of statements we want to make to sort of back up our decision to defer this?
Michael?
Go ahead.
I kind of understand our mandate to be clarification, and just the word of clarification to me kind of insinuates that the meaning should be relatively clear, though there might have been an opportunity to creatively interpret the rules, and we were just trying to close loopholes in a sense, and that kind of thinking shouldn't require really policy making, but it should be easier than policy making. And if we come to an issue that we don't agree is really clarification, but it is actually more policy making, it's really not in our mandate, possibly.
Yeah, I would. This is Olaf here. I think that was sort of the working assumption when the drafting group was created. That, well, if we can't have a consensus, if it's more than mere drafting that we need to do, meaning if we have differences of view, and we know of differences of view in the respective constituencies, well, then we are actually dealing with more than a clarification. So I think that is the conclusion we can draw concerning issue 5, or denial reason 5.
Tim, could you... one of the things that you said that spoke to me was the previous registration, the registration period.
Right. They seem to a lot of registrars, they relate to the term of the registration agreement. And yet, you know, what is being attempted in some of the redrafting is to be referring to the ad grace period. And, you know, it isn't clear, it never has been that clear what, you know, how the ad grace period, you know, comes into play there. I mean, that term is not used in the policy, and the terms that are used all seem to relate to the registration agreement. So, and the assumption has been by all registrars, and I think rightly so, that the registration agreement runs from creation date to 1 year after. So, you know, if there's going to be a change in the way we look at that or the way we deal with that, you know, in a lot of registrars' minds, that's a policy issue. And, you know, not just a redrafting of what's said there based on, you know, what the assumption of the intent was at the time. And, you know, and one thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, there are dozens, if not potentially hundreds of registrars who have come accredited, you know, long after all these discussions took place in the initial EDP discussions for this transfer policy. So what they're going by is what's written in the policy. They're not, you know, they're not expected and they're not required to go back and dig through all of the previous conversations to try to figure out what was meant. They're going by what this policy says. And so while I agree that in some cases, and maybe the couple we've already dealt with were, you know, kind of just creative interpretations. In other cases, and I think this one, and possibly even to some extent the next one, you know, what is actually, I don't think it's a matter of creative interpretation. I think it's a matter of a lot of registrars just honestly dealing with the situation based on what the policy says. And I'm just concerned that we're gonna cause a lot of issues for registrars and for registrants to redefine you know, the term of registration agreement, for example, just by redrafting what's said in the policy without really having full community input about
it. Like, just quickly, you mentioned the ad grace period, and of course we've done so much domain tasting these days that I think that was, you meant the auto renew grace period.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the sketches, the reasons for deferring. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and save the page right now so that you can see the bullets that I wrote. And they are there now, at least on mine. Go ahead and refresh your respective pages. Take a look at that list. It's definitely in notes format. Olaf, you're going to get a writing challenge in a minute. But I'm really interested in seeing whether we've captured the essence of this discussion at this point and not wordsmith's exact phrases. I think we can leave the wordsmithing to Olaf.
Yeah, I'll keep it exactly like this here. And I think I make some meeting notes and try to condense that in those. Okay?
Terrific.
Okay.
What are other people's reactions to that list? Is that sufficient? I'm detecting no cries of pain. So I think what we'll do is we'll leave this point in this state. We'll recommend that we defer this one. I suppose that what we could do is we could make a recommendation to the to the council, yeah, and say what? Recommend that it be become part of the broader PDP effort, maybe move that bullet down into that as a recommendation? What do people think about that?
Or is it so that there is a choice for the council either to handle this within this PDP and with a broader working group approach, and or to encapsulate it in one of the other transfer policy sets to be PDP'd in the future.
Okay.
Is that, I think that's the choice that they could have, or do we wish to recommend that it rather be put into one of the other sets? It's more of a question to you all.
This is.
I mean, it depends. I suppose the feeling of the group will matter, but I just my own opinion is that having the choice would be good because I don't want to be seen as just trying to put something off or delay. So if it's more advantageous for this group to just to continue with it, but just be given a broader mandate and more time, then fine. Because I want to get to resolution, but it's just a matter of having an opportunity for the right amount of input and the right amount of time it takes to do it. So I'd be for having the choice, letting the council decide which is the best approach.
I've captured this as a recommendation that says, I'll push it out to the site. And you can see it. Should be there now. Again, a little wordsmithing in terms of personal pronouns. The council could expand the mandate, is probably a better way to say this, but I think that captures the choice notion. I like that as well. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Yeah,
all right. Go ahead.
That looks good, and I was going to say that I think the choice is also important because it will underscore for council that this group was taking the issues very seriously, that it's not just an effort to push it off and kind of shirk a responsibility. We're taking it seriously and, we're looking at them, all right, either expand our mandate, give us time, or fold it in with one of the others.
Yeah, but not drop it, which I think is...
But not drop it, right.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree that we should add something to that extent, that we do not think it should be ignored or put away. It is an important issue. We just can't solve it with this mandate.
Do not recommend dropping issue. Simply didn't have time to adequately address it like that. Okay, I've just saved it again. It'd be there for you. Okay, are we done with that one? So, let's carry on into number 7. And again, Olaf, if I could call on you to give us sort of an introductory overview.
Yes, and this is, well, at least it's much more focused, I would say, that, the current reading of the text, the domain name was already in lock status, provided that the registrar provides a readily accessible and reasonable means for the registered name holder to remove the lock status. And I think there have been comments from most of the constituency about, well, the focus point is really what is a readily accessible and reasonable means to remove the lock status. And we had a text suggestion which is pretty lengthy from the ICC, and we have a suggestion for clarification provided by this point of clarification document from the Transys Working Group that basically says that it should be as easy to remove the lock status as it is to change any other contact information or name server information. So that's the gist of the clarification. So the tentative proposal that I put up on the wiki was just to combine the two, have the current text plus the clarification as provided by the POC. Well, I think that will do as a starter.
Terrific. Thank you, Olaf. Thoughts, comments from the group?
Well, I would only say one thing about the suggested text. This is Michael. I would hope that would never encourage registrars to make it more difficult to change other information such as DNS servers and information instead of making it easier to remove the lock status. I'm not sure that this comparison prevents some other kind of abuse. I don't think that most registrars would be looking for that kind of behavior, but I suppose it opens the door for that.
Okay. Somebody else was on at the same time. Go ahead, whoever else.
This was Tim. I think that's a good point, and I think that was maybe part of what was thought about here was that the different registrars had different security levels on how to do things, and so it was trying to kind of allow some flexibility in that regard. But beyond that, I think one of the concerns that I know we have, and I know other registrars have expressed, is that, you know, some of us have taken steps to develop opt-in services for registrants who are more concerned about security, who want to take broader security measures, and in those situations, changing your name servers, for example, might be an easier thing to do than undoing the lock. You know, they might have opted into a service where they have to perhaps go as far as calling a support number and giving a PIN code or something of that nature in order to remove the lock off a domain name, in order to prevent, if their account gets hacked, then it still can't be transferred away or hijacked without being able to take that further step. So what registrars don't want to lose with this rewrite is the flexibility to be able to have those opt-in services where it may make undoing the lock more difficult than some of the other changes that a registrar might want to do to their domain name. So That's the only, I'm not quite sure how to incorporate that into this to make sure that that's, you know, an allowable, some allowable flexibility there for registrars, but that, you know, except in the case where, you know, the registrar may opt into, you know, a service or whatever that might make things more difficult.
Maybe this is all off. Maybe we should have a look, actually, at the IPC proposal, because that doesn't make the that kind of comparison. It's a bit more lengthy. I can read it out to you. There are four provisions, actually keeping the text as it is, but adding readily accessible and reasonable shall mean any mechanism which is, and that's the first condition, accessible from a registrar's online interface. Second condition, can be activated electronically through that interface. Third condition, does not have a timeout period or window for transfer. And fourth condition, for which the registrar has posted clear and concise instructions for operation in the language of the registrar's agreement with its registrants. Well, you can read it, of course, in the comparison table, but the question is, would that be a better phrasing or better approach than making this kind of comparison, which the point of clarification document does?
This is Michael. I think that addresses my concern, but I don't think it addresses Tim.
May I comment?
Yeah, this is Tim.
No, wait a minute. We've got Tim. Somebody else jumped in the queue just before you.
Margie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hi, Margie. Go ahead.
Sorry. I think the problem with the IPC proposal is that it's imposing a lot of obligations on the registrars that may not actually be in practice. So, for example, there's no obligation that we even have an online interface. And certainly, you know, our registrar agreement is quite lengthy and may not be the appropriate place to put that kind of language in there. So I do have problems conceptually with adopting the IPC approach. As Tim mentioned, there are situations where, you know, high security may be something that a registrar wants, and I'll give you an example from the corporate perspective, because that's our customer base. You know, we're the registrar for a lot of major corporations, and they just will not, you know, accept the fact that you could change, you know, say, you know, Yahoo.com purely by someone logging into an interface putting a request to unlock it. It just doesn't, that would cause tremendous security implications throughout, you know, these corporations that have significant e-commerce. So I think this is imposing too much. I agree that the language needs to be clarified, but this goes beyond what the language in the contract currently requires or registrar practice.
Tim, you want to go ahead now? Sorry,
yeah, well, Margie made a number of the points I was going to make about some of those things that the ITC had laid out there. I think, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, most of those for GoDaddy wouldn't be an issue, but we know that's not the case for all registrars, you know, because there's quite a few different business models out there. So that would be one concern. And the other would be that again, you know, just being cautious about, you know, how far we go here before we're actually changing policy, at least in my perspective, without, you know, really having appropriate opportunity to get input from our constituencies. I'd be a little concerned with that too. So if there's a way we can clarify simply that makes it clear that, you know, because I think the assumption has been with 7 that, you know, if a registrant were to opt into something different, but that wouldn't be against policy. And so how can we, you know, make that clear without having to be too specific about what's allowed here and then possibly hamstringing, you know, registrars with requirements that don't really work. Especially, you know, we can't really go back and spend a lot of time here getting registrar input or even, you know, registrar input. I think, you know, the NCUC and the, you know, perhaps even the ALAC would certainly have some input on some of this stuff.
So is this one falling into essentially the same category as the previous one that says we could expand the mandate of this group, we could blend it in with a broader PDP, but we don't want to drop this issue? Is that essentially where we're at on this one as well?
You know, maybe, and actually this is, there is, specific about the lock mechanism in one of the PDPs that has been recommended, and then the other transfer work
right.
has gone on.
Right.
So that's already in there. So even no matter what we come up with here, it's going to end up being revisited again in the next, when that PDP is addressed.
Well, and one of the nice things about that broader PDP language is that then we are going to be able to step back, perhaps, and take a broader view at the issue of security in general and sort of blend the issue that you raised, Tim, one time on one of those calls of the trade-off between security and convenience, which
right.
is it's not resolvable. That's a dilemma, and it's a choice that registrants and customers ought to be able to make, and that the policy ought to be able to ought to acknowledge that choice and allow that choice, and that's certainly beyond the scope of what we can do in a week on this call. So I would tend to put this one into that same category that we just did the last one. Again, a great issue, don't want to lose it, but broader implications than simply clarification. Is that a pretty...
Yes,
is there anyone who wants to sort of push back on that at this point?
I think you put it very well, Mike. The dilemma between security and lenience, and that should be the obvious choice of a customer. Anyway.
I just wrote a couple of concerns in the same recommendation and saved the page under number 7. So you should have text there to look at. Again, it's a little sketchy, sorry, but if this is a reasonable summary, then I think we're done. I emphatically agree with the thought that anything beyond very minor clarifications is pretty much beyond the scope of the of this group, at least in the time frame that we've been given. And feel pretty good about this.
Your very first bullet point, I have difficulty following that already.
Oh, yeah, I was writing notes while Michael was speaking. Let me try that again. We want to avoid the situation where registrars increase security on contact and DNS changes.
Difficulty, I think, better than security.
Increase difficulty. Contact with a T. DNS changes in order to prevent transfers. That's at least a try. That's up on the page now. Does that help, Olaf?
Yeah, I heard it, and I know, well, now I guess it was the very first point that I think it was Paul that brought it up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Get it.
Yeah, I think that's a good fix, Mike. That's Paul.
Okay. Terrific. Well,
what do we do now? I mean, do we suggest a final report from the drafting group and agree upon that on the next call?
Yeah, do you want to take a shot at drafting that, Olaf?
Pleasure.
Wonderful.
I won't be able to do it today, but with a bit of luck, tomorrow afternoon my time. So, but most certainly before next call we have.
Well, we still have a public comment period on the stuff that we've passed out, so we can't delay too long. Now, what we could do is refer the public commenters to this page on the wiki and proceed from there, but we do need to...
We do need, for the public comment period as well, we have to flag that on...
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant the... We need to go back out to our constituencies before next week.
Right.
Correct? That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And for that purpose, they'd rather go to the proposed text page. I think that's the best reference, because it says where we stand.
Okay. Does that suit other folks? Is that all right if we simply send out an email to you referring to this page and say, please check with your constituencies and we'll wrap it up next week?
This is Barbara. I think that works fine for me and the registry's constituency.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is Pam. I will not be on the call next week, just FYI.
Oh, too bad. Sorry to miss.
On vacation.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. Okay, other thoughts?
Yeah, this is Tim. I may not be on that call either. We have a council call in the morning, right?
Yes.
7 a.m. Then I've got to try to schedule a flight that day too. So it'll be after that, but that'll be 9. So I probably won't be on this call either. It's at 11 next week.
Let's
my time anyway.
Let's figure out a way for folks like Tim and Barbara, who aren't going to be on the call.
Actually, this is Barbara. I will be on the call. Pam will not be able to be on the call.
I'm sorry. Aging brain.
Pam and Tim.
Can we figure out some way that you and others can still provide feedback even though you won't be able to make the call? Would you be able to maybe either push via email or via the wiki those thoughts back to either me or the group?
Yeah, this is Tim. That's fine with me, and I think, you know, if Paul and or Margie, you know, can make the call, you know, they'll be informed too, I'm sure, what constituency comments and that are. But that's fine with me. I don't want to hold up progress here.
No, I just, you know, I value your input, the two of you, and don't want to miss it. So.
Right.
So let me suggest that I have a go at drafting a report, which on the wiki, but perhaps also with the push effect of sending it to the our mailing list.
Yeah, or at least send the link to the mailing list, and then we can go read it on the wiki.
Yeah, well, we save some ink that way. Yeah,
ink is good, especially when they're made out of bits. The other thing is that on the final report, I really want to invoke wiki rules, which is once it's up there, if you see something wrong with it, don't be shy about fixing it. We can always see the progress of the text through the changes page. But, you know, if you as individuals see things that you feel just need to be improved, go ahead and do that. It's not going to cause great consternation. Okay, I will update our little schedule. Olaf wound up with most of the action items. And we'll have a call next week. In the interim, we'll check in with our various constituencies. And I just remembered a promise I made at the top of the call. Let me check in with folks. For those of you who weren't on the call last week, do you want to take a look at the proposed text for denial reason number 8, which is the one that we went through last week? It's the very first one on that page. Is everybody comfortable with that? We'll make a recommendation to push that along to council.
This is Christian. I'm pretty comfortable with the new language.
Great. Okay. Any others? Speak now or write eloquently in the interim. Oh, okay. I think that's it. Unless there's other business, I'll call for that. Anything else that people want to bring up at this point? If not, we'll wrap this call up and see you in a week. Again, thanks to Olaf and Glenn. Great job, folks. I think we did a great job.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks,
thanks, Mike.
Right. Thank you to all.
Thank you.
In a week. Bye-bye.
Bye.